Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
And Jacob, happy birthday. Yeah. Blessed, to be blessed, to be a blessing. With God's strategic inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Psalter, the 150 songs and prayers that make up the Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, begins strategically with the word blessed. It is the sense of you will know the power of blessing, and you will become a blessing as you pray the prayers, you sing the songs, you live the pathway that the Psalms lay out. We challenge you, we encourage you, I encourage you as your pastor, that in the month of May, with a message series coming from the Psalms, that you will read five Psalms a day, and you will have read the entire Psalter, all of the Psalms, in the month of May. And you tell me, Pastor, I don't know when I have time to do that. And if I came back and asked you, well, show me your calendar, show me what else you're doing, and let's talk about it. Okay. The sense of making room in our life for the inspiration, the shaping power of this incredible story of a people who, under God's leadership, laid out their anger, they laid out their sorrow, they laid out their hope, they received wisdom and instruction. They laid out the vision of God as they were receiving it. Jesus from the cross called out from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Knowing that that psalm ends with the exclamation of how God was with him. As a matter of fact, there is a key to the Psalms, like Klaus Westermann said. It opens with the sense of instruction and the wisdom of God. That's how the Psalms begin. But you get towards the last half of the Psalms, and it highlights the sense of praise and the wonder. You can't get to the feel-good unless you've done the trusting along the way. And in that, like Ken from his baptistry was saying, better late than never. From your life and my life, we know exactly what that feels like. The sense of holding back and being hesitant and then trusting God to take that step forward where the breakthrough happens. And then God gives us the feel of the blessing which he provides. Psalm 1, the opening psalm, just six verses. But in these six verses, we see the action. 14 verbs are used. The vividness of the faith. It's being filled with action like walk and stand and desire and meditate, plant, produce, and prosper. That when we take in these opening six verses, it also prepares our heart to feel, our mind to think, and our hands for action for where the Lord is taking us through the entire work of the Psalms. And we realize that in our life and in every psalm, there's a compare, there's a contrast, and there's a choice that leads to consequences. Comparing of what fits, what looks alike. Contrast, what looks different, what stands out. And then a choice to make of what we will do in light of the information we have and the inspiration that God gives us and the instructions that he provides. And the Psalms is filled with instructions, the how-to of the work of faith in order to have the consequences of our life. On Thursday, I was driving up to Baylor where I was going to be speaking for an event and decided to avoid I-35. You remember my prophecy around I-35? We know when Jesus Christ is returning. It's when Interstate 35 from Laredo to Dallas is completed and there's no more construction. And it's not happening anytime soon, I think. So I'm going up Highway 281 to Lampasas. I take a side road, 580. Beautiful, beautiful driving country. Take a right then on Highway 84 that would take me straight into Waco. And you remember the rain that Texas has had. Torrential rain, driving through this rain along the way, and then I came to a section of the road that was washed out. My car and a few other cars were the first ones to get to that section of the road. Well, actually, we couldn't see if it was washed out. We couldn't see the road at all. But there were two big Texas pickup trucks, and And they were calling my manhood into question, whether I could do what they were going to do. And they drove on, and they barely made it without being washed. Now, at an earlier stage in my life, I would have said, what the heck, let's go for it. But I learned a thing or two along the way, and I realized I cannot defy the law of gravity. Jesus hasn't yet given me the gift of walking on water or being able to ski in my car across water. And I decided to, along with another driver, to turn around and create a way back and lead other cars way back to get to another way at our destination. There are choices to make. Sometimes those choices, as we compare, we contrast, and we choose, is ending up getting our way to go forward in a way that we differently had thought we would do. And that's a part of trusting God with our life. Here's where the instruction happens. 6 verses. Each of the key movements comes with 2 verses per point. We open with the sense of positioning. The sense of the positioning yourself, where you want to end up. Now, it sounds strange. I mean, if you're beginning a race and you want to end up at the finish line, you first have to position yourself at the beginning line. And where you begin then is where you are lined up to end up. It's like the car being aligned correctly in order to drive straight. And the images are clear in Psalm 1, 1 through 2. Let's take a look at it. It opens with this power word of blessed or blessed. That means happiness. That means you are positioned with God in order for the grace of God to shape your life, to form your pathway, and to give you the courage to live your life under His leadership through His authority. You're under God's care and a blessing. And in this blessing, it's not just for you to receive, but then you become a blessing for others. So blessed is the one, and the word there is really generic. It's for men and women. Blessed is the one who does not walk, stand, or sit in the wrong position, who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of the mockers. But their delight, absolute delight, is in God's presence, in the law of the Lord, meditating day and night. Now, all of us celebrated the power of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ called Holy Week. For many Texans, to be a Texan, it means you follow that up by watching Lonesome Dove or rereading the book. And in the midst of this Texas kind of era saga, there's a story about a Jake Givens, who was a former Texas Ranger, and he hooks up with Gus and Call before they're going to make their journey from Laredo up to Montana on the big drive. But he decided that was too much work to be with them all along the way, and so he drops out, gets to Fort Worth, and he realizes he still wants to head north, and he's in with a group of people playing poker, and there's some bad desperados, but he needs to get through the Indian territory, and so he decides just to kind of ride with them for a while to get through that danger. And if you know the story, you know what occurred. Those bad desperados did some really bad things, evil things. And there Jake was with them. He didn't stop them. He stood alongside with them. He didn't do what they did, but he was where they were doing the evil deeds, and he became part of the wrong. Gus and Call caught up with him, and there were consequences by which he would be hung to death. He would spur his horse. And there would be the testimony of a consequence of being seated, standing, being seated in the wrong place, becoming of the wrong person. It's a serious stuff. There's a choice, though. But we can choose. Compare, contrast, we can choose. We can choose a way to form and fashion us by which we then will become the person we really want to be. We will trust in the power of God that will give us strength that we don't have on our own. A breakthrough for the breakthrough. Like Ken's verse of baptism. The Lord will help us, will strengthen us, will uphold us in the right hand of His righteousness so that we can feel that guiding us along the way, positioning ourselves with God. Now, Monica gave us a challenge. Oh, she was talking to the children, but you caught the challenge, didn't you? 66 days? Well, for the kids, that's going to be almost halfway through summer for them. For your life in 66 days, what if you took a psalm a morning? I challenge you to read 5 through May, so you've read it all in the month of May. But you just take a psalm a morning, and then you meditate it into your life. You take it in. You pray it into your life. Now, don't begin with Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. You'll think I misled you. Well, by the time you get to Psalm 119, you'll be able to skirt right through it. To take that sense of a habit of the meditation and letting God's presence shape blessing inside you so you can be a blessing for others. Now, how do you know that you're actually doing this well and doing it right? Because you're producing blessing, God's blessing, in a hurting world and broken lives. You're producing from your lifestyle. You're not producing just out of your own power, just out of your own talent, though it is with your sense of power and your talent, but it is a sense of God working His way through you. And so we are like, as said in verses 3 and 4. We become like a tree. We're not standing or being seated or in the wrong place. We become a tree that's been planted exactly where we should be. You've heard the phrase said two ways. Don't just stand there, do something. But you've also heard the phrase, don't just do something, stand there, and then do something. See, meditation is taking the view in from God's perspective. Then it's yielding to the sense of God's power wanting to produce us. And once a tree has been planted by the rivers of water, the rivers of life, then the roots go deep and then take in the nourishment, even during dry, hot Texas summers, being nourished by the water which is there. And every season, that leaf is able to produce the potential and accomplish the purpose in life. Now, you and I get through dry seasons of life. You and I hit through difficulties. Some of you shared with me this morning of just some things that happened to you this past week that shouldn't have ever happened to anyone, but they happened to you. You're here today in order for God to heal you, strengthen you, and let you become a blessing in a broken world. That's God producing His presence and power through you. Now, Richard Foster, a great writer in the whole spiritual formation through Jesus Christ, defines that morality, the habit of holiness, is the habit of moral excellence. It's a habit. It's a way of doing life. It's a way of thinking, a way of feeling. It's a habit of moral excellence. It's a habit of God's morality forming our own morality. And through that, then we are producing what comes from our life like a tree planted by this water. Or the Apostle Paul would write as the fruit of the Spirit. What God produces from your life is a love and a joy and a peace and a patience. If you know the rest of it, say with me, a kindness, a goodness, a faithfulness, a gentleness, and a self-control. The sense that God has the power to produce within you. And what's the result of that? We yield, we produce, we prosper. We find ourselves living the life that we've really wanted to live, and now we're in the right pathway for that to happen. Remember the story I told from Appalachia? I guess I thought of it again from some Kentucky roots here. True story of a man from the mountains of eastern Kentucky, and in those mountains there was a grandfather who's really raising his grandson. And the grandfather was very influential, a wonderful man of God, prayed every morning, read his Bible during their lunch during the day. And the boy saw the man in his life reading the Bible, and he wanted to be just like his grandfather. So he opened the Bible and he read the best he could day after day. He tried that 66 days habit, and it just wasn't working. And finally he said to him, "Grandfather, I don't get it. I don't see anything that's changing my life helpful by reading the Bible." And the grandfather says, "You see that coal basket right over there?" He said, "Yes, sir." "You go down to the creek in the holler, and you bring out some water, bring back water that we'll use in the kitchen." So the grandson, with obedience to his father, went down, put that basket underneath that stream of water, brought it back up. But by the time it got back, all the water had seeped out. He looked at his grandfather and said, I did what you told me to do, but the basket won't hold the water. The grandfather said, do it again. Because the boy trusted his grandfather, he went back to the stream thinking, I don't think this is going to work, but my grandfather knows stuff. And so he did it again. But by the time he got back, he again saw that all the water had seeped through. The third time, when the boy said, wait, this is not going to work, the grandfather said, I want you to do it again. Really, come on now, I want you to do this again. So again, the grandson went down to the stream, shaking his head, kind of kicking rocks along the way. Again, just kind of scoops up water, puts it in there, not expecting anything to happen, gets back to the grandfather, and sure enough, no water is in the basket. And the boy said, it's useless. And the grandfather said, now look at the basket. And the boy looked at the basket. He was astonished. He said, what did the basket look like the first time you went down? He said, well, it was covered with coal dust. It was just dirty. How does it look now? Well, it's clean. How do you think that happened? Well, because you washed it in the water. And reading the scripture as God just kind of washes over his presence and his word in your life. He cleanses you from the inside out. He shapes you. And that's where you get your power of a holiness and a right way of living this life. But the wicked are not so. Now, God knows us, and he knows our world. He knows there is holiness and wickedness, there's good and there's bad, there's right and there's wrong, there's purity and there's evil. None of that is a surprising to God. And I'm an optimist, not because I haven't looked at the darkness of life, but God has been gracious to let me see his presence on the other side of the mess. And it is that presence, that optimism, that hope, that of God working it through, that where the wickedness then doesn't have its hold to pull down. Now I can choose to stand with it. I can choose to walk with it. I can choose to sit with it. And then it will have its hold in my life. But I can choose differently by comparing and contrasting with what I really want. And what I want is to power up for a results-oriented life. To have God kind of results of coming for my life. I mean, we're also recognizing Christopher Mack's 6th anniversary of being with us at Trinity Baptist Church. As God has powered up CMAC, he's helped to power us up for some results oriented by a church on the movement, and the movement and the service of the gospel, and renewing and empowering and seeing a future and claiming that present power today. Your life then is a blessing as you power up in the sense of what God is accomplishing within your life. And then the Lord said, but the wicked aren't like that tree planted by the rivers of water. It's like tumbleweed from the West Texas. I'm not saying West Texas is bad land, y'all, but it's like the tumbleweed when we drive through West Texas. The tumbleweed by its very nature doesn't have a root. The tumbleweed by very nature doesn't determine where it's going, what the course will take. The tumbleweed has no roots and therefore goes where the wind will blow it. And a life not committed into the goodness of God and the roots of this loving trust in the Lord then becomes rootless and gets blown away by every turn in this world, every anxiety, every worry, every downturn, every gloom happening in this world. And instead of becoming a blessing, we find ourselves becoming part of the problem and not shining the promise. So verses 5 and 6 says, therefore, the wicked will not stand. If they're going to stand over here with wickedness, they're not going to stand in the presence of God receiving a blessing, hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, the judgment. Nor sinners, they're not going to be standing with those who've said, we've needed the cleansing grace of Jesus to reshape our life. We need to be in a movement of the gospel for the goodness in this world. That's whom we identify with. We show up on Sunday morning for a whole bunch of reasons, but among them, we want the world to know what side we're on, and we're on the side of God coming to a dark world with his light, coming with a hope speaking into its despair, coming with conversion shining into depravity. We know that this is who we are called to be, and therefore the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. With the kind of protection that's promised throughout the Psalms, even Jesus on the cross, quoting Psalm 23, "Why have you forsaken me?" To discover that the rest of the Psalm says, "I have not forsaken you. I am with you." And finding ourselves exalting in his power. But the way of the wicked will lead to destruction. I am 99% sure that if I would have gone straight over that flooded waterway, I would have been washed over the edge. I'm glad I've learned a thing or two in life. I trust you've learned that there are forces that happen in the world that we cannot take on our own. There are forces at work in the world that are way beyond our capacity. But there is no force in the world that is bigger than the presence of God, the powering up of God, in order for us to have a result of his wisdom shaping how we think and what we decide and what we do with our life. And this is the opening salvo of the Psalms. This is the promise of the pathway for people of the way. Living a blessed life will be a blessing. Be a blessing by God's blessings shaping you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are yours. Now we enter into a response time. This response time of your goodness, stirring your hope and promise in our life. We were led earlier in the service by Ken, just in a matter of courage and faith, allowing his life becoming that testimony of your grace and your power. None of us can get cleaned up on our own and come to you. We have to come to you and get cleaned up. And in that, we are changed forever. Thank you, by way of Christ. Amen. In the midst of our standing here for this response time, that you may know you have a place always at the presence of God at Trinity Baptist Church. You have a place and a people to be with, and that's called membership. That's called saying, these are my people that I will share life with, be inspired from, encouraged, and invite others to come and know the same kind of joy in Christ. That you, maybe like Ken, say, "I've thought about it a long time, but now is the time that I want to make it clear that I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm ready to come and say, Lord Jesus, I need you, and I give my life to you." Maybe you'd like to pray where Christopher or Sarah or Ethan is over there, just to pray with you. Just to pray with you. I'll be standing here receiving your decisions in Christ. Let's stand together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.